Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so we are in my kitchen. Bob, say hello.
Hello.
Right, what are we going to make now?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and fluffernutters.
Fluffernutters. Well, one fluffernutter. Why is it just one fluffernutter, Bob?
Since my mum, she's allergic to eggs.
Yeah, and the paste, the... What's it called?
What?
The marshmallow paste has egg in, doesn't it? So mummy
yeah,
can't
white
have...
egg.
Yeah, egg whites, yeah.
I got this
up. So you're going to have two sandwiches and I'm just having one.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, we are going to spread the peanut butter on three pieces of bread. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to open it.
Yeah, you can open it.
Yes, it's heavy. Okay, did it.
Well done.
Oh my gosh, look at that.
Oh, wowzers. Okay, well
that's
done, though.
Thick.
Right, so, oh, it is thick. Oh, my goodness. So, let's spread this. We've got thick white bread, as instructed by Auntie Jen, haven't we?
Yep.
And she's saying to do thick white bread.
I'm going to get the jam out.
Okay, that's good, mate. But that might be harder. Oh, well done. Got a new skill.
Oh, my God. This is so smelly.
Is it smelly?
Yep.
Smelly. Nice smell or bad smell?
Kind of bad, kind of good.
Right, okay. So, these are our peanut butters for the jam ones.
Yep.
Okay, so...
So, can I do the jam?
Yeah, you can do the jam in a second.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Right, so this is for the fluffernutter, which I'm jealous that I can't try. So, you'll have to really tell us what you think about it. Now, our setup is that Bob's is going to be downstairs with Daddy.
Yep.
On Daddy's iPad, not iPad, Daddy's...
Computer!
Bob's is going to be downstairs on Daddy's...
Computer.
And Mummy's going to be upstairs on my computer so we can hear us all perfectly well, okay? So...
I need to do...
Okay, so we need some more bread out.
I'll get the jam. Oh! Okay, I'll get the jam.
Yeah, don't spill it on my phone, mate.
I won't.
Right, so we're going to do two jam and one...
Oh, my God. This looks jelly.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, that's what they call. Do you know what they call jam in America?
What?
They call jam in America jelly.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So Bob's is just spreading it now. Do you want me to have a go?
No.
Quite hard to spread.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go?
Yeah.
So it's not easy on white bread that's a bit...
Thick.
Yeah. And we want it to be quite thick, don't we? Because the peanut butter's very thick. Okay, so do you want to get a peanut butter bread and just put it on top of that?
Okay.
So which slice are you going to choose?
This one.
Okay, so put it on top.
Oh, whoa. Okay, I'll whisper.
There we go. That's our first sandwich. Well done, mate.
Good.
Okay, so.
Now your sandwich.
Now my sandwich. Oh, my goodness. That is a lot. That's a lot of jam, isn't it? Or jelly. Okay, so do you want to
jam
put,
or jelly.
Do you want to put a peanut butter slice on top of that?
This one.
That one. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Scary.
Oh. Good job, mate. Okay, so let's put yours into... Do you want it in squares?
Yes, please.
So let's cut yours into squares. I'll cut mine into two.
Wait, okay. I'm going to see what it looks like.
Okay, remember, we're not trying it yet. We're trying it when we do the record with Auntie Jen and Auntie Becky, okay?
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Oh, it looks a bit weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm satisfying.
Oh, you think it looks satisfying?
Yep.
Okay, now the part which I can't have, so don't get it anywhere near my mouth, okay, mate?
Okay.
Right,
oh my
so
god.
We need one more slice for you.
Yep.
And we're going to use that weird fluff we found that looks very strange because the only one we could find was a flumps one. So it's all really, really strange colours.
Whoa!
Yeah, I think it's going to be like stripey. But let's have a look.
I want to see what it looks like.
Well,
we're going to see.
Well, we're going to see. Oh no, it's all white.
Oh my god.
Right, I'm going to put it on because I just think it'll be easier. Oh my goodness. It's...
Can I try that?
Yeah, of course you can.
Like, yeah,
it's like something off the Ghostbusters, isn't it?
It looks very sticky.
Yeah, this is...
Yummy.
Oh, do you like it?
Yep.
Do you think you'll like a fluffer nutter then?
Yeah.
Now, Bob's is already a fan of peanut butter on apple, aren't you, mate?
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if you like peanut butter and jelly. Now we had to go with strawberry, but seedless, strawberry jam or jelly because we couldn't find any grape. We did try and go as authentically American as possible, but this is really hard to spread. My goodness. Okay.
Is it so thick?
Yeah, so thick. Right, do you want to put that on there?
Yeah.
Stop eating it and just do it.
Sorry.
Okay, put that on there.
So yummy.
And then, should we cut this across?
Yeah.
Should we try and cut this into fours as well? Oh my goodness, it's so hard to cut even. Right, so there we have two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and one fluffer nutter, as authentic as we could. I think that's good. Well done. See you on the podcast.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to Recall the Midwife. Today we are doing a listener's special, so we've got all your questions to answer and everything as well. But first off, we have a very special segment where we are trying peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
With our most special extra guest. Sorry.
It is Bob's. Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
This is my six-year-old daughter who's desperate to come on. So she is trying not only a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but also, what are you trying, Bob's?
A fluffer nutter.
Fluffer nutter. Now, do you want to tell us, Bob's, why I cannot have a fluffer nutter?
Because you are allergic to eggs.
Yeah, and it's got egg whites in the actual fluff paste, which, by the way, it was so hard to put on the bread, wasn't it?
But it was yummy, though.
Well, she's already tried it. She hasn't tried the sandwich. She just tried it with a finger. Yeah.
Oh, marshmallow fluff, there's, like, nothing stickier. Like, literally, you could glue bridges together with it. It's so sticky.
Yeah, we might use it to put the conservatory back together later. Anyway, not the conservatory's gone down. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, so shall we try the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches first, everyone?
Okay, yes. Can I just say... This is one of the most classic American things ever, and I'm just so excited about this. I love a PB&J.
Okay, should we give it a try?
Yeah, here we go.
It's a bit weird.
This is the
Bob's
taste
just
of
putting
childhood.
A finger up. Not a finger. That sounds really bad. Bob's just putting a thumb up.
Thumbs up. This is childhood right here. Peanut butter and jelly childhood.
It's a bit weird, I'm not going to lie. It's a bit cloying.
It's a bit. Uh-oh. I've also got a toasted version. I've got two versions.
Oh, I think your toasted might be better, if I'm honest. Do you like it?
Yeah.
You don't have to eat it all.
It's just...
Well, just one sandwich.
Right.
I feel like there's a lot. It's mainly just like eating peanut butter?
Well, we put quite a lot of jam in there because the peanut butter was so thick. We also bought like the most American we could, seedless, and also with the we went with Sunpat peanut butter with no bits. Yeah.
I picked Jif peanut butter for my peanut butter brand.
This is yummy.
It's so good, right?
I hope our listeners can't just hear us chewing.
Yeah, they probably will be able to. Happy podcast! You get this for free. Okay, now the fluffer nutters. Now I can't have it. I'm out of this one on medical grounds. So what do you think, Barbs? How many out of 10 do you think?
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
What about you, Beck? Nothing.
6.
I'll go one more. I'll go 7. Like, I could eat it. I wouldn't really choose 2 loads, but I wouldn't be like, oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't actually choose to eat it.
No.
I do this all the time.
Good girl, okay. Bobs. Good girl. There we go.
Okay, now, fluffernutter. Jen, do you want to explain what the fluffernutter is?
Yes. So a fluffernutter is marshmallow fluff, which is like a spreadable marshmallow product, and peanut butter on bread. So here we go.
And where's it the regional sandwich of?
Oh, New England, like specifically maybe like Massachusetts area. You know, we got a listener who had written in about fluffernutters. I'd grown up with them, but I kind of didn't realize that it wasn't a thing other places, but I haven't had a fluffernutter literally since my childhood. So I'm so excited about
and
this.
And you're introducing one to Bobs. Bobs, are you ready for your fluffernutter?
Yeah, I got it.
You got it in now? Okay, are you ready? Go
here
for
we go.
It. So they're biting into it. Let's see what they think. It might take about 10 hours for them to chew the first part mouthful.
Bobs just loves everything.
Thumbs up from Bobs.
Oh, how that many, takes me back.
Is it stuck to the roof of your mouth, Bobs?
How?
Is it delicious?
Oh, that's good.
Which one's better, the peanut butter or they both got peanut butter, the jam, jelly, or the fluffernutter?
Oh.
First one or this?
They're both better than a cheese sandwich, though.
So which one do you prefer out of those two, Babs?
She's got a I think she
really loves the fluffernutter.
So which one, Babs? Jelly or fluffernutter? Jelly? You don't know?
Okay, let's do a debate. Number one, do a thumbs up when it's the right one, or number two. So number one or number two? One? Two.
They're both too good.
So you can't decide between either of them.
Wow, that is the most beautiful answer.
She's basically American. You can adopt to Jen. Do you want to fly over to live with Jen?
Yeah, come on, Bobs. You and I will have a great time.
We'll leave you on your doorstep.
You can come see her every once in a while, Alex. You'll still be able to see her. It's not like, you know, close communication or anything.
But you'll have those sandwiches every day. What do you think, Babs?
Thumbs up. Okay with me?
She's like, I'll leave my parents. I'll leave my country. I'll leave my whole life by Jay and fluffernutters.
She's just carrying on eating them now, so.
Oh, Babs, I love it. I love it.
Oh, Babs, thank you so much for joining us on our podcast.
You have done amazing. You are truly the voice that we needed in this, the extra voice.
Well, also, I could naturally do the fluffernutter challenge and Becky didn't, so.
I just refused because I was like, that's a step too far.
I want to make you a shirt.
That says yours.
See? Well, you probably got a whole tub of marshmallow fluff you have to eat, so it's good that Bob's likes it, because then she'll be able to finish eat the tub every, you know what I mean?
I'm not going to lie, it's absolutely ridiculously bad for her. It's probably going to rot her insides with throwing it away.
She's probably going to be on a sugar high after this. It's a good job you're doing
a podcast for the next 2 hours. Good luck, Debbie!
Well, here's the thing about, you know, like, which is better. So the fluffernutter is amazing, but it is like a very rich sandwich, and it like the marshmallow fluff
has marshmallow though in it.
It has, and see, I love marshmallow. Marshmallow is one of my favorite things. I absolutely love marshmallow. But the PB&J, because it's got the jam, it's like got the, you know, that part of it. You can kind of eat it. It's easier to eat like more often because it's, you know.
See, I think that's a bit ridiculous though. That a peanut butter and jam sandwich is one of the easier ones to eat. Like, it's so sweet and so cloying and so like sickly.
I know, but when you're a kid, everything, like, I loved sweets as a kid. I still love sweets now, but like when I was a kid, I was crazy for sweet foods. Like, I love sweets. And so to me, a PB&J was just so perfect because it just tastes so good. And it's got the balance of like the nuttiness and the, you know, kind of saltiness a little bit of the peanut butter plus the jelly, you know, and just, and then the bread is everything. I mean, oh my God.
My daughter is currently licking her hands completely.
Bob, you're going to get to eat a Fluffernutter, you know, every day.
Still until going.
Until this still going, right? We'll leave you to eat your Fluffernutter now, Babs.
Oh, Babs.
Thank you, Babs, so much. You've been brilliant.
You're the best, Babs. We love you. Yay!
Bye!
Bye! Bye. Bye.
Oh, bless her heart.
Oh my gosh, she is the cutest little girl.
She has been so excited to do that challenge. But I can't tell you how long.
Oh my God. We have to come up with another thing for her that she can join us down the road. You know what I mean?
Can I ask a question? Why were we trying peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I can't remember. Is it just because it's American?
We started talking about PB&J for some reason on one of the episodes.
Maybe
and then we just kind of latched on.
Our listeners will know more than us, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm really glad. Like, I didn't eat breakfast this morning because I was like, I'm going to have peanut butter and jelly and Fluffernutter. So I'm just, this is my breakfast.
Well, I only made half a sandwich because I'm having a roast dinner after this. So I was like, I can't, mm-hmm. I need Fair to enough. Rein it in for the new year.
I'm being so healthy after this, she says with a mouthful of peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Today's a day of gluttony, and then tomorrow we can all start living.
Well, I do need to be healthy because it got me up this year, so I want to lose a bit of weight before that. I'm just trying to be good. Anyway, should we start?
Let's go for it.
So we've got Heidi, not Heidi Tops, although maybe it is, who says she would love to hear about our Christmas and New Year traditions.
Oh,
which I think is obviously, I think mine and Bex's are probably going to be more British and yours are going to be American. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think.
What makes you think that?
I don't know what makes me think that. Jim. So, but you know what I mean? I think they're going to be more on a par is my point. I don't think they're going to be so different.
Very similar,
yeah. Now, I've actually spent Christmas in America with Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was such a good Christmas.
That was so great, but I couldn't believe when you didn't have turkey for Christmas dinner.
I know.
Wait, what do you have? Well, you don't have turkey either, Ali.
No, I don't have turkey, but I just presumed that in America, everyone would have turkey. I think they're all turkeyed out by Christmas.
Well, I'll speak to that. Do you guys want to go first and kind of describe a British Christmas? Because I will say, when we were talking a couple weeks ago about the Brussels sprouts, we eat Brussels sprouts over here for sure, but I don't think of Brussels sprouts as being a particularly like classic Christmas food. But you guys seem to think... for you guys, it was, is what I understood. Yeah.
Well, for me, Christmas Eve was all about... I used to go to the pub every Christmas, New Year's Eve at night.
Uh-huh.
For years and years and years. Now I've got a child, but I still go. But now I take her just for a little quick, quiet drink in the day, whereas normally I'd stay there all night. but I don't do that anymore. We now come home and watch The Snowman, which is another British dream and break The Snowman. And then, we leave stuff out for Santa now, obviously, because of my daughter. And then we wake up in the morning, do presents. We always have, in our house, we have pigs in blankets, sandwiches.
Wait, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So what does everybody do with when Santa comes? So, because as a child, we had a sack each, which we left in our bedrooms, and then we got a wrapped sack of presents that we would go into my mum and dad's room in the morning and open.
Wait, the presents wouldn't be under the tree?
No.
Did you do that, Al?
No. I was terrified of Father Christmas going to my room.
Oh,
I know. Which is a Christmas tradition I've apparently passed on to my daughter. I'm still eating. I do apologize. I can't stop it now. It's in front of me.
Oh, I'm going to go back for more Fluffernutter.
So anyway, they'd always be in the lounge.
Would they be wrapped? Some people don't wrap a stocking.
No. When I was growing up, we'd had no presents wrapped. Father Christmas here wraps them, but I'd get them wrapped when I was little.
Mm. But were they under the tree or were they in a stocking or a sack?
No, they were usually just in the lounge because our tree was in the hallway. But this year, now, it's under the tree.
Right.
Well, I say under the tree. There's so many of them. It spreads across the lounge.
But do you guys do like a stocking and then separate under the tree presents?
Yeah.
Okay.
So under the tree presents for me are presents from like friends and family. They're not Santa presents.
Yeah, I'd say that's more us.
Mm.
And as a child, it never occurred to me that my parents didn't buy us a present because I had my Santa, we had like our Santa stockings. Then we had a big present, which was normally downstairs, but it never occurred to me that my actual parents didn't buy me a Christmas present. That was one
of the... Whereas my daughter, age 3, was like, where's the presents from you? And I was like, oh, Oh, they're here. And also, she's the same one who said, why is the Father Christmas tree wrapping the same as your wrapping? And I was like, Asda had a deal.
That's just poor show, Alex.
She'd be like 18 months or something ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I did, as a child, I once woke up in the middle of the night and my grandma was staying with us and I did unwrap my whole stocking in the middle of the night. And then in the morning, I sit and watch my brother open his.
Oh my God.
And this year I spent Christmas Eve with my niece and nephew at their house, and I had a talking to when I arrived that me and my niece were not to repeat that situation.
Thing is though, Becky was a bit annoyed saying I wouldn't do that, and then I thought actually you probably would, and you were like,
yeah, I do find it good. Like, she does have me wrapped around, like, I find it very difficult to say no to anything she wants. Like, we do the most ridiculous stuff, and then my brother's like, why did you let her do that? And I was like, well, she kind of talked me into it.
Oh, well, but see, that's the true joy of being an aunt, or like in my case also like a grandma, because we had my nephews here and they're two for Christmas, and there's a lot of stuff that their parents would be like, well, maybe not yet, or not so much, or not whatever. And it's like, well, they wanted it. They asked for it. They wanted it. And I'll tell you who's criminal for that is my grandmother. Not my grandmother. My mother, who's their grandmother. Like, I had made, so they are in this thing now where like they're really getting into like eating their own food themselves with like utensils and all that kind of stuff like that. And they're getting really good at it. But the thing that they love is to drink out of cups, especially grown-up cups. And so they do this to like, you know, their mom and dad too. But if one of us will make a drink that's like clearly an adult drink, you know, with like ice and the whole thing, and it's like a big drink or whatever like that, they're always like, I want that drink, or that's my drink, or whatever. And most of the time it's like, well, no, honey, that's like, that's my drink. Like, you know, I'll get you a different drink if you want something. But I made myself a big drink like one day when they were here, and I like stepped away for a second, like 5 minutes to go do something. I come back, they're both drinking out of my drink. And I was like, Mom, what are you
Mom, that's neat vodka.
I was like, Mom, that's my drink. She's like, what? They said they wanted it. What was I supposed to do? I'm like, you literally could have said no. And she's like, no, I couldn't have done that. That wasn't possible. And the thing is, I don't mind them drinking it, but unfortunately, they're too little to drink a drink without just like
blowing it back in. Yeah,
you like get spinning, a lot of backwash, don't you?
Yeah, and the thing is, if they've just eaten anything, then there's like, they're, you know, they have like little crumblies and stuff like that. And then the other thing is that like, my one nephew had kind of a runny nose during this period, and I was like,
I'm stopping this is ragged. Right, New Year's tradition.
Wait, I've got another Christmas tradition, which I think is a bit weird, is that when we come to do presents, they get dished out and everyone has like their pile of presents, and then as a family we normally go in age order, youngest to oldest, and we literally, one person opens a present at a time and we all watch each other.
Wait, even as kids you did that?
Yes. It took hours. Oh,
no, that's way too much restraint for us.
Yeah, Well, the other thing we used to do, because it wasn't even wrapped, and my parents used to be out on Christmas Eve quite a lot, or drink or whatever. This makes them out to be awful. They're good parents. But they didn't wrap any of the presents. And me and my brother used to get up at like daft o'clock. Like, I remember getting up at midnight once, and we went down into the lounge and we were just playing for hours, just playing with our toys for hours.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, wow. That was one of the best Christmases of my life. And then I remember, because also the telly came on, it was like 1986, I was like five. And the telly came on, because obviously there was no telly through the night in those days. And we were like, hey!
So what food does that, so we do like turkey, pigs in blankets, stuffing.
So pigs in blankets is like pretty universally British.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Roast potatoes. Mm. We do carrot and turnip mashed together, carrot and swede mashed together.
Okay.
Sprouts, which no one likes, but we all have. Everybody has like a token three sprouts as part of their Christmas dinner.
Yeah, I think that's madness if you don't like them. I love them, so that's fine.
I don't dislike them, but I just wouldn't actively choose them unless they've been butter.
What would you prefer on your Christmas dinner? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or sprouts?
Sprouts.
Well, I think if they're cooked nicely, they can be nice. But if they're not, then they can just be like farts.
Yeah. And parsnips. Parsnips is another big Christmas.
Oh, parsnips, amazing.
I like parsnips a lot, actually.
We have roast potatoes, parsnips, Dauphinoise potatoes, carrots, peas. We didn't have sprouts this year, but not for any reason. She just didn't do it, my mum. And then we have beef Wellington made with pate around a massive fillet of beef, medium rare, and it is delish. And obviously gravy.
So what would you have for your Christmas lunch, Jen?
So the thing is, it's a little different in the States, because we do have Thanksgiving like a month earlier, and Thanksgiving is a
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Very traditional. Like, it, I would say Thanksgiving is more universally, like, we all kind of do the same thing. And it's, and turkey is the centerpiece, obviously. Stuffing, cranberry sauce, gotta have some kind of potato there. Usually other vegetables of some kind, like carrots or peas or, you know, some kind of green vegetable or something like that. And then usually, like, but then there's, but the thing with the States, too, is that, like, there's a lot of, like, regional variations from, for all that. Yeah. So, but just to say, like, turkey is, turkey and stuffing are kind of like, and cranberry sauce are like the hallmarks of a Thanksgiving dinner, you know, like that's pretty, you know, special. So then by the time Christmas comes, it's like, I feel like it's, it gives people an option to be a little bit more like freestyle, you know what I mean? Like, well, what do we want to eat on Christmas? And so we've done turkey again for Christmases. We've done,
well, do you want me to tell you what you had when I was there?
Oh yeah, what did you have?
They had honey glazed ham. It was all lovely, but it really threw me because it was just sweet. And obviously a Christmas dinner in the UK isn't sweet.
Yeah.
It was a honey glazed ham, but then it had that weird yam thing.
Yes. Oh, yes. Sweet potato casserole. Mm-hmm.
It was, I'm not going to lie, that was absolutely mind-blowingly weird. I liked it, but it was weird because it was sweet.
Well, that, so sometimes people call it sweet potato, sometimes people call it yams, like sometimes people have like sweet potato pie, it just depends on what it is, but that's a really southern thing. So basically you take a sweet potato or a yam, you would cook it, mash it, you know, add a lot of like beautiful flavors and, you know, things to it, and then put it in a casserole dish, cover it with little marshmallows, and then bake it in the oven, and then when you take it out, all the marshmallows are crispy on top.
I'm not gonna lie, it's absolutely mental. I was just like, what is this?
that's a very southern American thing.
What about your pudding? Do you have Christmas pudding? Like, as in, you know, a Christmas pudding that with a point in it?
No, we don't do that.
No. Well, I'm not a fan of a Christmas pudding.
I mean, I can't have it usually.
Well, so. Are you guys talking about the one that's like, like a boiled pudding with the sauce over top?
Yeah.
So that to me is, so like my grandparents had a recipe for that, and my grandmother, my dad's mother, would make it, and it was like a thing that they did in their house. But that is such an old fashioned thing to do. Almost no one does that.
But we have that, right, and the Yule log usually. And then my mum says both times, you can't have either of these. I'm like, thanks.
We have sticky toffee pudding in our household.
Oh, I've had that before. I was badly allergic to egg. I had that and it was next level good.
Oh, it is really good, the one you guys make. Yeah, we, like, for Christmas dessert, it's kind of like, I mean, usually there's lots of Christmas cookies, because over here, Christmas cookies is like a huge thing. I'm a big Christmas cookie person. I bake a lot, I get a lot, whatever like that.
Both of you should go on Bake Off. Imagine if you went on Bake Off US and you went on Bake Off UK. I'd just be like the loser.
No, I know, I couldn't handle the pressure.
Yeah, I think we could get you there.
No.
I can handle the pressure. I just don't know if I could handle, like, standing up for 7 hours while you had to bake it all. That would be,
I definitely couldn't handle that part right now, but right, New Year's.
I'll cook a roast dinner for you, Alex, and you can watch me crumble, and then you'll realize that there's no way I can go on.
Well, you got on.
Can we have a crumble actually? Can we do a crumble afterwards? Bet you'd be good at a crumble.
Oh, yeah, crumble would be nice.
Love a crumble.
Do you have mince pies in America, Jen?
No, not really. I mean, what? We do have them. People have them, but it's not an American thing. I mean, if you have them, it's because you've gone that way. It's not really like a standard issue. I'll tell you one thing though about the Christmas part, the presents part, and I would say this is fairly standard, is that everyone puts their presents under the tree. There's no Santa sack in the bedroom thing. Some households will open presents on Christmas Eve. Some households will open them on Christmas Day, first thing. Somehow, my dad, when he was growing up, he always was like, it was the hardest day because I would have to wait to open up all of our presents until after my uncle had come to visit us, because he was a priest living in New York City. And so sometimes we would have to wait until like 4 o'clock in the afternoon for him to get there, because he also had to like perform mass and everything. And then he would come. And then we could open up all of our presents then. And he was, and my dad was the youngest, so he was like little and everything. And he was like, I want to open my present so bad, so bad. But we open our presents usually in our household on Christmas Day, kind of whenever, basically. And then our stockings are like hung up and they're a separate thing, but stocking gifts are always usually a lot littler things. And for our house and our household, my sister and I, we would get the exact same presents in the stocking, pretty much. There'd be like some variation, but pretty much we'd get the same. And my mom always used it as an opportunity to give us like toothpaste, toothbrushes, socks, you know, like the most utilitarian
things. Yeah, and that's, yeah, that's the sort of stuff that we would get. And also I spent my entire life slow racing my brother, because what we obviously took it in turns, but I would have to engineer it somehow so that he went one more time than me. So at the end, I had presents left.
Oh, see?
That's well, yeah. See, a new level of petty. None of that happened in mine.
Oh, see, in our house, my sister and I, we were allowed to open them at the same time. And so for us, it was like, who can open faster and like spoil all the surprises for the other one more? So we would be like, toothpaste, toothbrush, comb, shampoo, you know.
I have
like,
to say, I'm very glad that me and my brother did not have this horrible competition thing going on. Okay, New Year's tradition. Let's actually finish this question, guys.
Oh, God.
I hate New Year's. I don't have any traditions.
I'm not a huge New Year's person. I mean, I like the idea of like a fresh start. I like the idea of like reflecting on the year that's passed, but I'm not too fussed on New Year's. My sister was a lot more like, I want to go to a New Year's party. I want to do a New Year's event. You know, we did do Times Square for New Year's one year in the year 2000, but no, I'm not really too fussed on New Year's.
Yeah, I used to love New Year's Eve, and I used to go out for parties. I used to have parties. I used to go out for them all the time. But obviously now, and I hardly drink anymore. So now, do you know what we did yesterday that we're going to do every year? We watched the Eurovision final again. We go out for tea. So we went out for tea all together. It was lovely. My husband has a gratitude jar throughout the year that he puts things that he's glad for or grateful for. And then we read them that day. And yeah, it was really lovely. So we went out for tea, did that, then came home and watched Eurovision. And then she went to bed at about 9. We let her stay up late. And and then we just watched like the stuff that was on the telly that was going on. And then we watched the fireworks and went to bed. But it was really nice.
Wait a minute, hold up. I have to talk about this gratitude jar for just a minute. So he puts stuff in there all year long.
Yeah.
Does anybody else put anything in there?
No, it's him.
And how long has he been doing this?
Years, does it?
Oh.
Really? Yeah.
Oh my God, I love
it. It's a really
that.
Nice tradition, because now Bob's can read. It's just really nice that she was reading them out loud in the restaurant stuff for me. Not to the whole restaurant, just to us. Yeah. Listen up, everybody. My daddy is glad that my mummy does the washing well. That wasn't one, but it should have been.
Did he start that before he met you?
No, I think because he was so grateful to meet me, that's when he started it.
Well, that makes actually good sense. I cannot even tell you how much I love this. Like, that is the most sweet, beautiful thing I have heard.
Well, this is your sign to start a gratitude jar today.
Honestly, as soon as I heard that, I was like, we have so many jars in the kitchen. I was like, I'm going to get my mom up later on today and be like, Mom, we need to start a gratitude jar and like put stuff in, because that is the most all year. Like,
And it did make me remember things of the year that I really loved and forgot about. It was just great.
So will he put dates or anything on them?
No, he'll just put things that he's... So one of them we couldn't really understand. It was like, my nose is clear. So he must have had like a nose that was blocked. But the point is, it's just stuff that's made you, that you're grateful for.
Oh, that is the most beautiful tradition. And I'm sure it probably was overflowing, right? And then he's just like, look at how much beautiful stuff I have in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, God. My sentimental heart has been absolutely inspired and uplifted by that. Oh, I love it.
Well, this is your sign. If you've ever wanted to do anything like that, this is your sign to do it.
Oh my gosh, that is so sweet.
Another tradition you might like, Jen, is, so you two are both Bob's godmothers.
Yes.
And we light her christening candle every Christmas Eve. And we remember everyone who's not here. So we did you two, because obviously not here like that. I mean, not with us at the moment.
Not physically.
But we also honour people, you know, people who've died and everything as well. So obviously Sinbad the Cat.
Oh.
And we do that every Christmas Eve as well, and have a little moment just before we watch The Snowman, which is also a tradition we do every Christmas Eve.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get a lot of New Year's anxiety. I just don't like it. I don't like the thought. And I know that it's literally the difference between one day and the next, but I just don't like if you've had a bad year or you've had a good year and then you're like, what does the next year have in store?
Yeah.
Well, I do have to say, I was thinking that this year was a bad year. I was like, I can't wait to get rid of 2023, because obviously my leg happened in the start of September. So I was all like, ugh, thinking it was awful. But actually, the gratitude jar did make me remember there was loads of really good things about this year as well. So yeah. I would recommend it for that. For your mental health, it's a good thing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And 2019 was a really difficult year for me. So at the start of 2020, I was like, it can't be worse than 2019. And look what happened.
So Becky, you just need to stop thinking thoughts like that. Yeah.
You're like, it can't get any worse than this. Well, just wait. Okay, so wait, I have one last New Year's tradition, and this is not about, like, you know, socializing, but, and this is very regional to certain parts of the United States, so I would say this is kind of like the southern United States, like all the way from, you know, maybe it's basically like mid-Atlantic down, like across through maybe like Texas or something. Now, if other people do it other places, that's great too, but this is kind of where I think of it. So, and I just actually got them started this morning, but for us, we make black-eyed peas on New Year's Day, and that's
what with Will
I Am. Yeah, exactly. And that is supposed to, like, if you eat the black-eyed peas, that will bring you good luck or, like, good experiences in the new year. So it's kind of a, you know, thing we like to
make
too.
Peanut butter and jelly and fluffernutters sandwiches and eat for a podcast. That's what we like to do on New Year's Day, isn't it, ladies?
Very nice. Very nice.
A bit of insight into the behind the scenes of when we're recording this.
Exactly.
Okay, next question. So this is from Miller City Sam on Instagram. Hello, and thank you for your question.
Hello.
They say, specifically to season 6, you could react to some of the music, the toothbrush song that Sister Winifred and Christopher Dockrell play for their dental education classes, then sung for a few seconds by Sheila as she joins Angela and Patrick in the bathroom. Or there are the songs that pair with certain moments of the show. It's instrumental, but sometimes just violins can make me cry. Now, I will say, we touched a tiny bit on the music. Mm. We do need to, what I would love is an interview with someone who actually deals with the music in the show, because that would be absolutely amazing. But I do know they try and keep it to the time. But I did actually specifically do a bit of research on that song. Now, I grew up with that song.
The toothbrush song.
I didn't remember it.
You're the worst person to do a podcast on with stuff like this, on like old stuff, because you're
Bex
like, yeah.
Bex could never write a memoir because she'd be like, I don't have memories of my previous life in
any
stage.
She just texts us all the time. What happened when?
Like, other people could write her, like, you know, someone could write her biography, but she could never write an autobiography or a memoir. She'd be like, wait, what?
Well, we sung this song for years when you're brushing your teeth and stuff, but it was by Max Bygraves. It was released in 1960.
Oh, okay.
So it's of the time. It would have been released, but it was never actually like a single that got into the charts or anything, but it was on one of those records that kids just played it all the time. So my parents had it as a record. And that's why everyone just knew this song. So, you're a pink toothbrush, I'm a blue toothbrush. Have we met somewhere before? No?
Never heard that.
I will
she's
say
looking at me like she's never heard that song in her life.
I will say the advantage is I can watch my favourite shows again. And it's like watching them for the first time. So, I don't know what could happen.
Well, that'll be the same when you're listening to the podcast again.
And Bex, you look at your own family photo albums and you're like, oh my God, what a wonderful childhood. I never knew.
You know what she doesn't do, though? She doesn't see any banners saying what year the Christmas is because... Okay, so Shelley DS on Instagram also says, love your podcast. I just want to hear one of you say, put it in the drawer, Sheila, again. So this is just for you. Put it in the drawer, Sheila.
Way! Well, you're the best one to do it, Al. You're the originator, so.
That's very true.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
Okay, now KM Jackson on Instagram says, can we go back to the Series 6 Christmas special and Linda's story? I hate to say it, but that birth felt way too Grey's Anatomy for me. Obviously, a lot of medical scenes and dramatised on the show, but every time I watch this episode, I just think there's no way a hot water bottle brought that baby practically back to life, and he was just completely fine. I'm curious, are there ever any storylines that you find completely impossible on this show? And she also says, love your podcast. As a 23-year-old American with no one to discuss my favourite TV show with besides my mum, lol. We basically look like the age of your mum, probably.
I think this with a lot of births, because quite often the baby will be in distress and then they'll say, we've got to get this baby out. And then magically the mother just pushes harder and the baby is born quicker.
Yeah.
I used to not believe loads of it, but then me and you, Bex, went to the, do you remember we went to the, do you remember this, Bex? Me and you.
She's like, no, I don't.
See Heidi Thomas in the history tour in Gloucester, and we saw it, and a lot of it's all factually correct. She's so making sure that everything is historically and factually correct. But I do believe, I know it's dramatised and probably made to seem easier, but I do think that this must have happened, otherwise they wouldn't have included it.
I just think there must have been, with the difficult storylines, there must have been a higher infant mortality rate.
Oh, well,
which they obviously can't show that, because
that would be
it's
way
Sunday
too
night view. It's like when Conchita had the baby that was really premature and she just refused to let them take it to the hospital, and then she drip fed it with a pet.
Again,
that happened.
Did it happen in real life, or did it just happen in the TV show?
Well, I mean, Jennifer Worth wrote about it in her book.
You should be
on the side of the truth.
I didn't remember that Jenny wrote about it.
She's like, oh, wait a minute.
Jenny Lee is exaggerating. baby was 1 week premature.
I'll say this. I think if we actually looked at historical, postnatal mortality rates and all that kind of stuff like that over time, like, we would look at the rates in 1960 and be shocked, honestly. And I think, because there's just a lot there. But just to say, the ones that make me think that I thought of when you posed this question were the ones where the lady gives birth in the public toilet, like in the apartment complex building. There's one toilet and the guy is like, aren't you going to be done soon? And Sister Julian is like, step aside, sir. And then she like literally gives birth while she's like got herself perched on the edge of a toilet seat, which I was just like, I can't think of a more disgusting place to like do that. And then in that vein, the other one that really sent me.
Are you going to say the smoke house?
Yes, the kippers. The kipper house, where Trixie was literally holding back vomit like every minute of it, because she was like, and it was like, oh, just put some kippers to the side, love, and like, we'll get on to it. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? Like, absolutely not. Like, just
see, my problem is, since that talk, Heidi Thomas could tell me anything in this world and I believe it now.
Well, I believe that it happened, but I mean, I would say this, I could believe that it happened, but I mean, now think about when we've all either had babies or been around people with new babies. It's like, you have to wash your hand before you touch the baby. You can't breathe around the baby. The baby has to have this. You have to boil the this. You have to do the this and everything. And it's like, there's so much. And yet these women are literally bringing forth the most vulnerable creature that exists into this world in the most disgusting, horrible place you could imagine, where germs are rife everywhere. And it's just like, well, okay, it just worked. We just kind of rubbed a towel over it and like, you know, boop, boop, and the baby's okay.
Well, do you remember that one that nearly had the soot all over it as well with Sister Evangelina?
Yes, the ceiling caved in. Like a minute after she gave birth in that episode. That was like the first or second episode.
Yeah, I thought the baby.
But I still think, even with our childhoods, like, I grew up eating soil as a child. So I just think.
This is where your mum messages us that she did not.
Then we've got photos.
You're like, nope, that never happened.
There is photographic evidence of this. So I just think, even as a child, we were a lot grottier than children these days.
Well, and I will say this.
I don't know. You just saw my daughter licking her fingers after that.
I don't know. I mean, I think the thing with the Selwyn and Linda baby is that Sister Julian does make a comment after Valerie gets back to Nonata's house of like, oh, she didn't realize X thing, or she should have done this thing when she was there, and it would have been better for the baby, but we're here now, so we're just gonna, you know, deal with it now, basically. So I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what she said, but I mean, I think there was the implication that Valerie didn't do something, you know, that she maybe could have done at the moment, like on site, that could have helped as well. But
the lungs hadn't filled, but then she did fill them, but didn't realize, and then
well, but also, to be pedantic, that hot water bottle, I know the baby was wrapped in a towel, but then that water bottle was directly on top of the baby. Like, hot water bottles are hot.
I think innovation, scientific.
As the name implies. Yes, you're right.
No, but it, like,
you. No, I know what you mean. I'm joking.
For a reason. I think that baby would be scalded.
Well, again, I mean, you know, it's just these kind of wild, really, really wild stories. I mean,
so
I don't
Kate,
know.
That answers your questions. There's a lot we don't believe, but I believe everything.
Although, well, just to add to this, I think Selwyn and Linda would have frozen to death in that caravan long before she gave birth, because that could not have been warm.
No.
Well, and look, the show definitely covers some of it, but I mean, you know, and we've talked about how the hospital system is starting to invade Poplar's, you know, maternity ward and, you know, the clinic and all of that kind of stuff, and how it's like, we're lamenting like the loss of that kind of community care and all that kind of stuff like that. But hospitals and sterile environments and regulation laws, you know, like all of those things have given us a lot of benefits in terms of, you know, health outcomes and successes and everything. And even though we all feel very connected to Dr. Turner and Sheila and the, you know, all of that kind of stuff like that, they're not wrong. Like, there is a good reason why we went that way, you know, and health outcomes have been affected positively.
And mostly because of Trixie's horrific explanation to Linda and Selwyn as to what happened. If you're in a hospital, you won't have that horrific explanation. Anyway, right, next question. We've had a question from Erin. Thank you so much. She says, as a US listener, I'd love to know what Poplar is like today. I have no idea what kind of area it is. I spent a summer in London in 2022, but if someone gave me $1 million, I couldn't tell you what part it was in. We were in Stamford Street, across the Thames from Parliament, just down from London Eye. Can't imagine that's close to where the Blitz took place, but I don't know. Thanks, friends. Oh, friends, love it. Now, I actually gave this job away because I am the world's worst geography. I'm so bad at geography. So I gave this away to someone who is good at geography. I gave it to
them. There we go.
And I just had to Google it because I didn't know.
Talking yourself up there, carry on.
Yeah, so Poplar is now, so it's part of East London, which we know. It's now the borough of Tower Hamlets. So I think if you were doing touristy London, I don't think it's an area that you would stumble upon.
Yeah.
But the Royal, they talk about going to the London. So the London is the Royal London Hospital, which is obviously still there. So if you look at a map of London with the river going through it and you get kind of the horseshoe of the River Thames,
mm-hmm.
Poplar would be north of the river to the top left of the horseshoe.
Right.
Can you take a photo and send it to us?
Yes, I will. Okay. And then, so the area now, so, and then north of this area, you've got like Bethnal Green and Hackney, which I think Hackney will probably be familiar to.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
And it's near Shoreditch. It's all that sort of area. But I did look on Rightmove and the warehouses, which obviously some of them are being torn down because of bomb damage. But if you were to buy an apartment in one of the warehouses, which have now been converted, you're looking at £3 to £4 million.
Wait, what?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So one of the warehouses where, like, the men would have worked, they've been converted into homes and now they're £3 or £4 million?
Yeah. So a lot of those, where they've not been torn down, a lot of those have been converted into flats.
See, a lot of London's been gentrified, hasn't it, though? Like, loads of places there. Yeah. Because it's just such a massive sprawling place now. People obviously need to move to where it's... I was about to say where it's affordable, but that is not affordable for us.
Well, you know, on your thing that you sent us, there's a little drop pin that says the Museum of the London Docklands, which is so fascinating because, I mean, obviously we know how big of a part of the show that is in terms of, like, men working and what livelihood they had and really the engine of that economy at that time. Oh, and this is where the Isle of Dogs is.
Now, I actually sent that because that's Rotherhithe is actually where Max Bygraves, who sang the Toothbrush song, was born. So I wondered if they put it in because he was from around that area as well.
Oh, my God.
And that was probably a very happy accident.
In that area, you've also, I noticed, the Museum of Jack the Ripper.
Lovely.
Oh, so wait, is the Jack the Ripper stuff around here as well?
Yeah, it would have been in
that area. Oh, that's Whitechapel, right? So just over.
Yeah.
Oh.
And also, I did use Cable Street to navigate around the area.
Oh, Cable Street.
Oh, Bex, you got to send us these screenshots so we can see. Girls, so when I come over and we do that tour, where's the tour at? Is it in this? Is it in Poplar or is it somewhere else?
Blank answers because we don't know. Hang on, let me have a look.
Well, I'm just curious because I would be so, I mean, I'd kind of like to walk by the
It's at the dock. It's the Chatham Historic Dockyard.
Hmm.
Bear with. Right. Chatham Historic Dockyard is absolutely nowhere near there. It is.
No, it's not in London.
No, it's not. It's right near. It's above Maidstone in Kent. It's to the very right. It's literally in Chatham. Well, near. Right. Gillingham in Kent. No, is that Kent? God, my terrible geography.
Because it's near Maidstone's in Kent, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's there. So it's nowhere near, it's not actually anywhere based anywhere near the actual real Poplar. So we're out of time on that one, ladies. So we're going to have to do a part two. So thank you so much for everyone for listening, and we'll see you in part two.
Well, and just to say, we're excited to go to Poplar when we're all together again. these are great questions.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.